Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Grant to us in these moments, our Father, new insights into the meaning of our faith and the world in which that faith must operate. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Through the centuries, individual men as well as the race of mankind have felt the weight of reality pressing down upon them. With his magic and his sacrifices, primitive man attempted to cajole and to coerce the hostile powers of nature. According to the Gospel of Mark, Jesus aimed his own ministry at the overcoming of the demonic. Today, men still feel the pressure of reality. They do not call it by the impressive names that men of learning use, despair and anxiety, but they do experience it. And this sense of unspoken despair, discouragement, disillusionment, is one aspect of the human situation to which we are sent to minister. Men grow discouraged for reasons too numerous to tell, but certainly one of these is the sense of the futility of life and the transitory nature of human endeavors. Carl Sandburg paints a vivid picture of the transitory nature of all human endeavors.
The woman named Tomorrow sits with a hairpin in her teeth and takes her time and does her hair the way she wants it and fastens at last the last braid and coil and puts the hairpin where it belongs and turns and draws. Well, what of it? My grandmother yesterday is gone. What of it? Let the dead be dead. The doors were cedar, and the panel strips of gold, and the girls were golden girls. And the panels read, and the girls chanted, "We are the greatest city, the greatest nation. Nothing like us ever was." The doors are twisted on broken hinges. Sheets of rain swish through on the wind where the golden girls ran, and the panels read, "We are the greatest city, the greatest nation. Nothing like us ever was." It has happened before. Strong men put up a city and got a nation together and paid singers to sing and women to warble, "We are the greatest city, the greatest nation. Nothing like us ever was." And while the singers sang, and the strong men listened and paid the singers well and felt good about it all. There were rats and lizards who listened, and the only listeners left now are the rats and the lizards. And there are black crows crying, "Caw, caw," bringing mud and sticks, building a nest over the words carved on the doors where the panels were cedar, and the strips on the panels were gold. And the golden girls came singing, "We are the greatest city, the greatest nation. Nothing like us ever was." The only singers now are crows crying, "Caw, caw." And the sheets of rain whine in the wind in the doorways. And the only listeners now are the rats and the lizards. The feet of the rats scribble on the door sills. The hieroglyphs of the rat footprints chatter the pedigrees of the rats, and babble of the blood and gabble of the bread of the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers of the rats. The wind shifts, and the dust on the doorsill shifts, and even the writing of the rat footprints tell us nothing, nothing at all about the greatest city, the greatest nation, where the strong men listened and the women warbled, "Nothing like us ever was."
But those cities rise and fall and turn to ash. Perhaps man could muster some hope if he could find a noble and inspiring creature when he looked at himself. But man's disillusionment deepens as he recognizes his own hollowness. T.S. Eliot provides a disturbing portrayal of modern man's emptiness in his poem, The Hollow Men.
We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men, leaning together, headpieces filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices when we whisper together are quiet and meaningless as wind in dry grass, or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom remember us, if at all, not as lost, violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. Eyes I dare not meet in dreams, in death's dream kingdom, these do not appear. There the eyes are sunlight on a broken column. There is a tree swinging, and voices are in the wind singing, more distant and more solemn than a fading star. Let me be no nearer in death's dream kingdom. Let me also wear such deliberate disguises, rat's coat, crow skin, crossed staves in a field behaving as the wind behaves. No nearer, not that final meeting in the twilight kingdom. This is the dead land. This is cactus land. Here the stony images are raised. Here they receive the supplication of a dead man's hand under the twinkle of a fading star. Is it like this in death's other kingdom? Waking alone at the hour when we're trembling with tenderness? Lips that would kiss form prayers to broken stone. The eyes are not here. There are no eyes here in this valley of dying stars, in this hollow valley, this broken jaw of our lost kingdoms. In this last of meeting places, we grope together and avoid speech, gathered on this beach of the tumid river. Sightless, unless the eyes reappear as the perpetual star, multifoliate rose of death's twilight kingdom, the hope only of empty men. Here we go around the prickly pear, prickly pear, prickly pear. Here we go around the prickly pear at 5 o'clock in the morning. Between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow. For thine is the kingdom. Between the conception and the creation, between the emotion and the response, falls the shadow. Life is very long. Between the desire and the spasm, between the potency and the existence, between the essence and the descent, falls the shadow. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is life is. For thine is the. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper.
But though human endeavor fade into nothingness, though men perceive that modern man himself is hollow, though with Albert Camus men feel the very absurdity of reality itself, yet some among us continue to affirm our faith. This poem of Studdard Kennedy is called simply Faith.
How do I know that God is good? I don't. I gamble like a man. I bet my life upon one side in life's great war. I must. I can't stand out. I must take sides. The man who is a neutral in this fight is not a man. He's bulk and body without breath, cold leg of lamb without mint sauce. A fool. He makes me sick. Good Lord, weak tea, cold slops. I want to live, live out, not wobble through my life somehow and then into the dark. I must have God. This life's too dull without, too dull for aught but suicide. What's man to live for else? I'd murder someone just to see red blood. I'd drink myself blind drunk and see blue snakes if I could not look up to see blue skies and hear God speaking through the silence of the stars. How is it proved? It isn't proved, you fool. It can't be proved. How can you prove a victory before it's won? How can you prove a man who leads to be a leader worth the following unless you follow to the death? And out beyond mere death, which is not anything but Satan's lie upon eternal life. Well,
God's my leader, and I hold that he is good and strong enough to work his plan and purpose out to its appointed end. I am no fool. I have my reasons for this faith, but they are not the reasonings, the coldly calculated formula of thought divorced from feeling. They are true, too true for that. There's no such thing as thought which does not feel, if it be real thought and not thought's ghost, all pale and sicklied o'er with dead conventions, abstract truth, man's lie upon this living, loving, suffering truth that pleads and pulses in my very veins, the blue blood of all beauty and the breath of life itself. I see what God has done, what life in this world is. I see what you see, this eternal struggle in the dark. I see the foul disorders and the filth of mind and soul in which men, wallowing like swine, stamp on their brothers till they drown in puddles of stale blood and vomitings of their corruption. This life stinks in places. 'Tis true, yet scent of roses and of hay, new mown, comes stealing on the evening breeze. And through the market's din, the bargaining of cheats who make God's world a den of thieves, I hear sweet bells ring out to prayer and see the faithful kneeling by the Calvary of Christ. I walk in crowded streets where men and women, mad with lust, loose-lipped and lewd, go promenading down to hell's wide gates. Yet have I looked into my mother's eyes and seen the light that never was on sea or land, the light of love, pure love and true. And on that love, I bet my life. I back the scent of life against its stink. That's what faith works out at, finally. I know not why the evil. I know not why the good. Both mysteries remain unsolved and both insoluble. I know that both are there. The battle's set, and I must fight on this side or that. I can't stand shivering on the bank. I plunge head first. I bet my life on beauty, truth, and love. Not abstract, but incarnate truth. Not beauty's passing shadow, but itself. Its very self made flesh. Love realized. I bet my life on Christ. Christ crucified. Behold your God, my soul cried out. He hangs serenely patient in his agony and turns the soul of darkness into light. I look upon that body, writhing, pierced and torn with nails, and see the battlefields of time, the mangled dead, the gaping wounds, the sweating day survivors straggling back, the widows worn and haggard, still dry-eyed, because their weight of sorrow will not lift and let them weep. I see the ravished maid, the honest mother in her shame. I see all history pass by, and through it all still shines the face, the Christ face, like a star, which pierces drifting clouds and tells the truth. They pass, but it remains and shines untouched, a pledge of that great hour which surely comes when storm winds sob to silence, fury spent to silver silence, and the moon sails calm and stately through the soundless seas of peace. So through the clouds of Calvary there shines his face, and I believe that evil dies, and good lives on, loves on, and conquers all. All war must end in peace. These clouds are lies. They cannot last The blue sky is the truth, for God is love. Such is my faith, and such my reasons for it. And I find them strong enough. And you? You want to argue? Well, I can't. It's a choice. And I choose Christ.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is our affirmation of faith. Precisely when reality begins to pinch. For making this affirmation possible and for giving us the gift of faith, let us together praise God.